Today's reading you will find on page 1063 of the Church Bible, and it's reading from John chapter 1, 1 to 9, page 1063. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time now to consider your word to us today. Please speak to us. We pray for that work of your Holy Spirit that you will bring to life and to light the things that each of us needs to hear from you today. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And if you're able to turn back to page 1063, we're going to be looking at the next little section of this beginning of John's Gospel. While Christmas lights are turning on and lighting up our darkness, we enjoyed the Christingle here last Sunday afternoon. The lights at the Howard shops were turned on Friday. We've got our Christmas tree donated by Burstons this year with its beautiful lights on it. And there are spectacular lights all over the place. Came across this one. It hopefully will come up on the screen, from Japan. There we are. It's the world record number of lights, 591,840 lights on that tree. It's a great tradition of Christmas lights. It came, it seems, from about the 1600s, when Moravian Christians, Czech Christians, started putting candles on their Christmas trees to celebrate Jesus, the light of the world. And it is certainly a comforting tradition. This week there was a discussion in our family about being scared of the dark. And it turns out that lots of kids are scared of the dark, and some big kids as well. So in our family, most of us will run, if it's dark, we'll run and jump into bed to make sure that the monsters under the bed don't snap your heels. Or I thought I'd share this very old and lovely creature called Super Seal. This is Cherries. From the age of 5 to 8, Super Seal lay on her feet at the bottom of her bed to protect her from foxes snapping at her toes during the night. Don't know about you, are you scared of the dark? There are, of course, many things in our world that actually are evil in the dark sense of the world. So there's a new... Oh, there we are. I don't think I've got control of it here this morning. This civil war in Syria that's broken out the last few days, it actually might be ending quicker than we thought, but just another thing, isn't it? Another darkness. Or this week, I learned a new term. You may be very familiar with it, doom scrolling. It's where people spend hours compulsively reading the news, the bad news, online. And a team at University College London has done some research into it, and it's shown how it can trap people into a destructive doom spiral downwards and is negatively impacting people's mental health. Maybe you're familiar with that tendency. And Christmas itself can feel like a dark time in the sense of stress. For many, it's the busiest time of the year. Or in the sense of feeling down. For many, it's the loneliest time in the year. And sometimes it's both, isn't it? So, we need light. We need light. That's the first point this morning. We need light. Now, we sang, didn't we, earlier on, "Let there be light." That was the first thing created at the beginning of Genesis. Let there be light. It's essential to life. As you know from biology, photosynthesis, essential to all life on our planet. But it's also, the Bible says, essential in the metaphorical, spiritual sense. We need light. Now, the first five verses that we looked at last time, you could sum them up by saying, Jesus is bigger than we think. He's eternal. He's divine, the second person of the Trinity. He's the creator of everything, and he is the light of the human race. Verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. He has shed his light into our human hearts so that we are specially made in the image of God, with a conscience, with a sense that there is something divine, the capacity to worship. But there's a problem. Verse 5, ever since the creation, ever since the human race came, the light shines in the darkness of our world, but the darkness has not understood it. We have a problem. We can't understand the light. We need to receive it. And so we need God's help if we are to be able to receive his light. But I wonder, do you believe that you need his light? Do you believe you need God's light? Despite darkness everywhere, our human race, by and large, still thinks that we can find the light ourselves by our own efforts or by looking within and finding the light within. So in the Western world, we glory in the Enlightenment. It's had a huge impact, a movement from the 18th century, so about that time, that emphasized the human mind, human reason, that independent of God, we can develop knowledge and freedom and happiness. Or in the East, the main religions there have as their goal enlightenment, nirvana, as it's called in Buddhism, which is something you can achieve if you put in enough effort. A long quest, right thinking and right living will lead to enlightenment. But I want to suggest that neither East nor West have conquered evil and darkness and suffering by searching for light within. John is saying that the only hope is for light to come from outside, to shine into our hearts, to come from God. We need light. And the great news is that the light has come. But God also, in this section, shows us that we need the witness to the light. So that's verse 6. Let me read a bit again. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. After the glorious opening sentences and this amazing divine person, the Word, we have this kind of surprising, I think, coming down to earth. And we get a man, John. But a man sent from God, like Moses, like Elijah, like the prophets. He's talking about John the Baptist here, not John, the person who wrote this. In fact, he never mentions his name throughout the book. It's John the Baptist, the last of the prophets of the old covenant. It's really interesting, isn't it, that John suddenly appears. I've often thought, it's a bit strange. Why does John suddenly appear? But if you think about it, he's right at the beginning of all of the Gospels. He is a crucial first figure. Why? Well, for John the Apostle, the big thing about him is that he is the witness, the key forerunner. Why do we need him? Why is he actually rather more important than we often think. Well, the Old Testament promised him. So think of the promise. The prophet Malachi said, before the Messiah comes, Elijah will come to turn hearts back to God. And Jesus says that John is that Elijah. Or in Isaiah, remember the famous reading, the voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the road for the Lord to come. That's John the Baptist. You see, the people of Israel were not ready. They were stuck in wrong thinking and wrong living. Jesus, when he came, would just blow apart their expectations. He was way bigger than they thought. They needed a witness. They needed John. Witnesses are, in fact, really important in John's gospel. If we're going to believe in Jesus, he thinks that we need witnesses. So John the Baptist is recorded three times bearing witness to Jesus. Then we had a few weeks ago the woman at the well in Samaria. We had Jesus' works themselves. We had the Father when Jordan spoke. We've got the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, the apostles, and Jesus himself. Witnesses, John thinks, are really important if we are going to believe. They're really important, aren't they, in a court of law today, if you're going to prove a crime was done. I'm sure you've seen in the news, Greg Wallace, the MasterChef presenter, has been accused of bad conduct not on screen. Now, if it was just one witness, it would just be his word against her words. You actually need lots of witnesses, don't you? It's really important to have more than one. And that's what we have in the gospel, and especially John the Baptist, the crucial herald, prophet, forerunner who prepared the people, who made disciples, who got them ready to receive the light when he came. We need the witness to the light. But, verse 8, just a little reminder, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. He is not divine. He is not the one. He is not the Savior. Don't make the mistake of viewing a mere person as greater than he is. And unfortunately, we have that tendency, don't we? But also, another important thing about John is that he is a model to us. He's a model to us of Christian service, of Christian ministry, of preaching, of any kind of teaching. You see, the aim should be just the same as John, to bear witness to the light, not to draw attention to ourselves, not to impress people and draw people to follow you, rather point people to Jesus. That's what it's all about. Because Jesus is the true light. There's our third thing today. Jesus is the true light. He is the one. He is the one who brings the light. Look at verse 9. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He's the true light in the sense that he's the genuine light, or in the sense that he is the source of light. John or any other human being isn't. At best, we're like mirrors. We can reflect the light that God gives. But Jesus, he is the floodlight. He's the source. He is the ultimate self-revelation of God who gives light to every person. We need him. And because of who he is, he's all that we need. He's all the light we need. Did you get that? We need him, and he's all we need for spiritual, eternal life. This expression, he gives light to every man, verse 9, is a tricky one to know exactly what's in John's mind. He could be referring back to verse 4 and 5, talking about Jesus' role in creation, when he shed his light in the creation of human beings in God's image. Or he could be looking forward to Jesus coming and giving light to all by his presence in the world, by his teaching, by his impact. A bit like in John chapter 3, where he says, This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of evil because their deeds were evil. Of course, both are true. The light Jesus shone in creation and the light he shone when he came at Christmas to save. But the second is surely the most important. Verse 9. He was coming into the world. That's what this is all about. He was coming to be made man, the incarnation. And this is the greatness of Christmas. As our strapline this year says it, light has come. We'll be singing in just a moment. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. Here is the wonder of Christmas. The light, the creator, was shining on earth in the streets of Bethlehem those years ago. This is what our Christmas lights are telling us. It is wonderful, wonderful news. And it means no more searching is needed. With Jesus, the light has come, as he will say when he's grown up. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When you realize this about Jesus, your search is over. If you receive him as Lord and believe in him as Savior, then you receive the light of life, eternal life. It can start today. You can enter into his light and have eternal life from today. I wonder, have you asked him for it yet? Have you come to him yet? Well, you can do it today. But how do we experience his light today? Because he's not with us in person, is he? Well, there is a great clue in our passage, a great help, because he is called the Word. Jesus is God's Word personified, the ultimate self-revelation of God in person. And he's also ensured that his word has been written down. We encounter the self-revelation of God in the scriptures, the Old and the New Testament, as the whole lot is God's word and the whole lot points to Jesus. We need light. And through the scriptures and the help of the Holy Spirit, we have all we need to receive his light today. I wonder, do you believe that about the Bible? I was reading this book this week, The Doctrine of the Word of God, a theologian called John Frame. And here's a quote from him about what he thinks the church most needs in this day. He says this: "Here's my proposal for a reformation in our own day. The issue is again the recognition of deity. As Athanasius," and that was the Council of Nicaea last week, "as Athanasius saw the Son of God as fully divine, and as Luther saw the work of salvation as fully divine, so people today, especially the theologians, need to see that the message of salvation is fully divine. The gospel is not the result of human wisdom. It is entirely the mind of God, delivered to us, to be sure, by the means of human words. A reformation today that will get to the roots of the doctrinal ills and problems of the church will focus on Scripture as necessary to our worship and salvation, and as nothing less than God's personal word to us." Or as Peter himself put it, I love this quote. He says this in 2 Peter: "We also have the prophetic message," he's talking about the scriptures, "as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts when Jesus returns." Jesus is the true light, and we can meet him in his word while we wait for his return. So treasure your Bibles as God's word to you now. So, where have we come from today? We need light. We need the witness to the light. And wonderfully, Jesus is the true light. Well, I hope you're having a good Advent so far. Advent, traditionally, is about using these December days to prepare for his coming, celebrating his first coming, looking forward to his second coming. And we're preparing today by understanding the true meaning of Christmas lights. So when we look at our lights, when you switch on the lights of your tree at home, think, remember, Jesus is the true light. I need him today. And as we remember this and take it into our hearts, it will help us to celebrate when Christmas Day comes. The light has come with the Lord Jesus. Let's pray, shall we now? The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the wonder of the gospel. Thank you so much that you have not left us in darkness. You've not left us to our own devices, to our own futile searches, but you have come. Lord Jesus, we thank you. And Lord, I pray for each of us here today, wherever we are at, that we may each of us receive your light into our hearts. And so have the light of life and be able to celebrate this Christmas. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Thank you.